Hi folks, before we start this podcast, I just want to say that given the increasing risk and the spread of the COVID-19 virus, we are looking to basically record less. We're having a few postponements where it doesn't suit people. You know, we can't be asking people to travel if they're uncomfortable to travel, and we will be recording a bit more remotely. It will mean breaks in the schedule, and you know, we will try our best to keep the content as current as we can, and we will try and make sure that we give you as much information as we can with some of the experts that we can try and get. But we totally understand where people are not willing to try. They're looking at self isolating, and they're looking at making sure that they contain their own, or they limit their own exposure. So just bear with us, and look, you know, look after you and yours. That's the best advice. Listen to what the doctors are telling you. Listen to what the medical experts are telling you. And mind yourselves. Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber podcast. My name is Tony Groves, and there is only one story in town, and it continues to be the spread of COVID-19. Martin, how are you?
Grand, thanks, buddy. Glad to be out of hospital.
Yeah, you don't look very well.
I feel grand. Be on antibiotics for the next 12 months, but yeah, I feel grand.
12 months of antibiotics.
12 months, yeah.
Right, where do we start? Where we start is obviously the things that happened yesterday. So yesterday the government came out and announced the cancellation of major events, including the St. Patrick's Day Parade. Shout out to Cork, who got in there first, as usual, just to, you know, one up the dubs. Some of the things, you know, we've heard about an additional budget of up to $3 billion being made available. Some of these events that they're going to offset in terms of, you know, giving people sick pay on day one. I heard some people saying, you know, people take advantage of that. They'll just start calling in sick. And, you know, I have to say I was more concerned about the spread of this thing than I am about the odd person.
Well, if we remember, overall in social welfare fraud is way less than 1%.
It was 0.00.
Okay, so people are generally honest, Tony.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And people are in this. We do live in a country where people care about other people. If nothing else, that came out of the results of the last election. What was worrying, obviously, is to see that our temporary government sitting around, and they have, you know, they're talking about getting ahead of this thing, and that worries me, because I think we keep saying that they're at the containment stage, but
we're in mitigation, Tony. We're in mitigation right now.
I don't see why we don't take, as Simon McGarry said, why don't we start pulling the levers of power now to start going to dealing with these things now, rather than face into what Italy did over, was it 22 cases and then 15 days later, thousands of cases?
I asked somebody who knows the numbers, Tony, how long do we have to make that decision to shut things down? And we've already passed that point. But that said, even if you do it now, you're mitigating, and you've got to mitigate the whole way along. Got to try and keep the health service alive. The health service is going to crash. You want to read that? You've seen the reports from Italy, Tony, and you've seen the reports from Italy. There's no longer consultants or doctors or nurses. They are just medical professionals working side by side with no rank to try and save as many as they can, and they can't save them.
Oh, and this isn't hyperbole. You can go in and look at Fergal Bowers from RT has been putting up terrific tweets of just screenshots of doctors' reports and nurses' reports from Italy. And it would break your heart reading them, because the actual concern for patients and the choices that they're being forced to make in what is, let's face it, you know, it's the cradle of, you know, the Romans gave us everything, folks. You know, they built the roads. And this is not not like we're talking about a third world nation here.
Lombardy has an excellent health service. Excellent, excellent health service. Way better than we have. Way better than
I don't know if we can say that, because I don't know. I haven't seen the statistics. But what I will say is, as someone who has travelled extensively throughout Europe and has had to avail of their medical services, I do find I'm constantly shocked. As I've told you before, Martin, I've been in the system in the EU on the continent, and been shocked at how efficient it was relative to
my own
experiences.
Why is there so much denial, Tony? Why is there so much denial of what's going on? There's not just denial at government level. There's denial at all levels. I mean, I put up half the figures that Leo Varadkar predicted. I just put numbers on them, an actual number of people. What does 50% infected mean? What does 10% needing hospital care mean in numbers? And people came back to me and went, that's not true. And I went, well, why isn't it true? It's half of what you've been told officially.
But I mean, I don't know if it's denial. I think people use different ways of coping. And I mean that honestly. People are looking at the world outside their window and everything seems normal. And that is the truth.
I'm driving in to here, Tony, and I'm looking at my car and I'm seeing trucks and I'm seeing buses and I'm saying to myself, 2 weeks from now, they won't be there. They won't be there.
Well, I don't want to cause or add to panic or add to fear.
But Tony, no, I said it last week to you. It's laissez-faire. And people need to start to get, not panicked, but actually get over the denial. Get over the denial quickly. Until you get over the denial, you can't deal with the problem. Get over denial real quickly. Varadkar has said 80,000 people could die in a worst case scenario. The figures he's given for the mid case scenario is over 40,000 deaths. So, you know, get over your denial really, really quickly. Because you have to deal in reality. You have to.
Oh, and again, we can talk about personal responsibility and keep saying it, you know, washing your hands, social distancing, making sure that if you're symptomatic, you self-isolate, you take responsibility for yourself, and that's all well and good. But if we don't have enough ICU beds, if we don't have enough, as we said before, sadly, and I mean this as someone who knows doctors, consultants, nurses and people, I worry about them because they're at the front line.
Tony, you look, I've spent a week in hospital, and to say that these people aren't on their nerves, they're so on their nerves. They're on their nerves. And when you read the account of what happened in Italy, we've seen a drop off in patients on trolleys, numbers wise, and we've seen that. And the Italians had that, and the doctors were standing around in sort of half empty EUs and half empty, emergency departments going, oh, I'm not really sure this is going to be that bad. And then they saw a little smattering of cases, and pneumonia is the big one in this, a little smattering of cases. And then all of a sudden, the tsunami hit, and that quiet period they had just evaporated, and now it's front line.
Look, Martin, we do need to see more action. I think we need to move very quickly to some simple things that can be done. I know people are saying that, you know, for every day we wait, you know, the economy continues on. But for every day we delay, I think we risk the spike or the surge, as these people are now calling it, getting worse. Schools are going to be closing for the Easter holidays in a couple of weeks anyway.
Yeah, it's an open goal with the schools, Tony. It's an open goal. It really is an open goal. Cannot understand why Varka will not take that shot. You're only talking 2 weeks. I know they've said the excuse is there will be healthcare professionals who can't get childcare. And you can't leave them with the parents. Let's get that, or with the grandparents. Let's get that out of the way straight away. You can't be putting children with grandparents. And if you're doing it already, start making alternative arrangements. But people will step up, and we need huge buy-in from everybody to get through this. I mean, everybody. It's all hands on deck. But we also need the government to start moving faster. Way, way faster. I heard Pascal Donoghue, and he wants to con-call Europeans to decide whether we should shut down flights coming into this country. We're an island. We are unique in that we can do it and we can shut it down. We did it with foot and mouth. We can do this. We can do it. We can mitigate better than anybody else. We're the second least densely populated country in Europe. Mm. We can start moving people out of the cities. Out of the cities, and we're going to have to do stuff like this so that you don't have that big concentration of people in one area where it's running rampant, as we've seen in other cities.
We see the running the numbers, and I mean this as someone who's concerned. I think a lot of these things should be done. I really do. I genuinely believe we need to start looking upon this as on a war footing. I don't want to come to the level where I'm being, you know, creating a panic. But yeah, there's no reason why not dealing with this on a war footing. But there's also people on the other side that are running the numbers, saying, for you take the flights down, what does that mean to the economy? You stop the ferries, what does that mean to the economy? What does that mean in jobs? And then what does that mean in overall? And I know we can talk about this, but unfortunately, those numbers are always run, and they run them through, and then you have vested interests, you have lobbyists, you have people who are going to push back and say, "You can't, if you do X, you're going to end up with Y."
And I say Italy has just locked down its entire country because they followed that train of thought, that you escalate when you get to A point and you escalate more when you get to B point and you escalate more when you get to C point. No, throw everything you have at it as soon as you can. And people say, no, look, we're following the EDCU advice, we're following advice from WHO. So far, their advice has been good, but not implemented early enough, which is shown in the numbers. They haven't got it right. It's evolving. Nobody knows exactly the right move to make. So err on the side of caution. Can we slow down or at least take some of the peak out of it? The ability is there now to do it. Now.
I think that is the really important thing. These numbers, so if you say 1.9 million, let's just stick with that figure. If you can have 1.9 million people get it in a 4 month span, you decimate your health
service.
Finished. Whereas if you do it over 18 months, you know, at least you factor in that these things.
You're increasing your survivability rate. You're giving everybody a chance. You're not going to have the decisions that the Italian doctors are having to make, that if you've had a stroke or you're over 65 or you have a comorbidity, sorry, we're not even going to tube you. You're dead. Sorry, we can't do anything for you.
Yes, and I know that sounds, again, like we're exaggerating.
But that's the absolute truth. That's without a doubt, that is the truth. Mm. And even when they say mild symptoms, and Colette Brown put this up yesterday, mild symptoms include pneumonia. Mm. They are the mild system. This is nothing like a flu. People saying, oh, the weather will heat up and get rid of it. No, it's a virus that lives in your body at 36 degrees and it'll live above that temperature and below that temperature. So stop looking for false hope and start dealing with reality.
We do live in a world where sadly a lot of people think, oh, sure, look, the vaccine will be here and we all, it's the same. It's funny, we talk about the denial and it keeps going back to me in my head, the climate change denial of, you know, sure, we'll have a technological fix. You know, remember we had this conversation with a guest and they were talking about that they were making robot trees and someone said, well, you know, it would be great, just trees, you know, instead of, you know, robot trees. But similar to this, as you said, get over denial very quickly and move to mitigating. Move, and if you feel the state aren't mitigating, we need to see more. Look, we have no government in effect.
We have a caretaker
government, and unfortunately, I don't believe that they're, you know, really making efforts to. They were hoping to get over Patrick's Day, get into the Easter break, and then come back and get Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil with the Greens and or whoever, you know, these independents and form a government. This should have been done 3 nights ago.
I heard Pascal today on Sean O'Rourke and talking about when they're next going to have a conversation, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. And Sean O'Rourke said, well, shouldn't you be doing it now? Hmm. Oh, well, we could, was the answer. We could. Mm. Now, we've got to stop with coulds and shoulds and start looking at these are the real measures we need to take. And let's just talk about the numbers first, Tony, the worldwide numbers. The Atlantic had an article yesterday evening about Iran, and they're saying Iran are giving out false numbers. Now, if you look at the Iranian government or their government setup, they're dropping like flies. And these are the people with access to top medical care. The rest of the country doesn't. There could be millions infected in Iran. They're saying it's running rampant, absolutely out of control in Iran, worse than China, out of control. So as long as you have a country like that on the planet, and we're, you know, we're looking at it saying, oh, we can solve Ireland's problem. Ireland needs to solve its problem in conjunction with Europe, in conjunction with the entire planet, or it's just going to keep coming back, reinfecting. We have to stop flights from, let's start with Italy. Let's start with anybody who has passed through Iran, being in Iran. Let's start screening. Let's start getting serious. We've had, of the cases we've had, the vast majority have flown into this country.
Can I say one thing, though, which I think is, you raise a good point. We are part of the European Union, right? The biggest collection of countries that have got together for economic interests was where it was born. You know, it was born out of steel and iron, as they say. And in that, there has to be scope there to say, well, actually, what we did is, you know, we can't look to central banks to save us. We can't look to these people to save us, but we can bloody well print money. Okay, you can do, you can start the printing presses again and start your quantitative easing. Now, people say, if you do that, you'll impinge on the bank's limits to make money. So what? Okay?
Well, let's talk economy, Tony. Yeah. The economy is tanked.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying to you. So if you start, in 2007, 2008, as things were getting bad, right, Barack Obama came into power. He went with the stimulus thing, and their economy came back quicker because they started the quantitative easing. The EU was very slow to get on board and very slow to actually to do it. It would be very easy for the European Investment Bank, the ECB, to start getting on board now, because if you want to deal with these things and countries are saying, oh, debt to GDP ratio, sorry, swap.
Forget it. Debt to GDP ratio. Forget it. Forget it for 12 months.
No.
Forget it.
Like, if you want to say that lives matter, unfortunately, as I always say to you, Martin, life is cheap. Okay,
Tony, you know, you can say that, but I guarantee you, this is changing the world in front of you. It's changing it, and people are looking at it changing, not realizing Italy is never, ever, ever going to be the same again. Ever. Well,
the last time we had a pandemic like this was 1918.
1980. Now, let me tell you a little story. My mom told me this story. My gran was born just slightly after 1918, and she lost members of her family to the Spanish flu. She lost two aunts, she lost an uncle. My gran didn't experience it, but all her life, for 93 years, she talked about the trauma of the Spanish flu to her family. And people aren't even beginning to think of the trauma that's out here. Massey's was on the radio today talking about how quick burials, how no families at burials, how cremations, this is all going to be the way. Now, is there any family that can afford to bury three people in a week? Is there any family out there can afford those kind of expenses? These are even the little things. These are just the little things. Where do you bury them? How do you handle a body that is infectious? You know, these things, as you said, there's 40,000, and that's the state's own figures, 40-odd thousand bodies. How do you handle this? How does a society handle that trauma? I mean, how do you handle that? And what if it's worse? What if it's worst case scenario and it's 80,000 people over the course of 2 to 3 months? That's a trauma that the society will never, ever get over. Ever get over.
No, certainly not in one generation.
No, they won't.
Not in one generation. This is a global pandemic. It needs a global response. I think what we're seeing now is obviously, I don't like the idea of people telling us that we're at the we're still at the containment phase. I think we need to move to mitigation. I think we need to move to severe, to making much more. Martin, you want to?
This is a thread, and this is Jason Van Schur, and Jason is an atheist,
yes.
in the UK, and he has translated just a little thread from one of his friends working in an Italian hospital. Let me just start with this. My friends call me in tears because they see people dying in front of them and they can only offer them oxygen. Nobody over 60 with a comorbidity or under 60 with a comorbidity is even getting looked at. They are just being left to die. Tons of patients with moderate respiratory failure, and it escalates so fast into full pneumonia. If governments won't do this, at least keep your family safe. Your loved ones with history of cancer or diabetes or any transplant will not be tubed if they need it, even if they are young. By safe, I mean you must not attend them, and you decide who does and does not get to them. You've got to protect your older people. You've got to protect them. What he's basically saying is patients above 65 or younger with comorbidities are not even assessed by the intensive treatment unit. So we have to act seriously. We have to act now. You and I are we've discussed this before we came on, we are now going to put ourselves as much as possible into self-isolation. That means not going to pubs. That means we're not going to go to family gatherings. We're going to try and give our parents as much support as possible without physically being there and putting them at risk. These are the things that we're going to do. We're going to limit the amount of people we see, hand washing. We're going to do all of that. But unless we have a response from the government which is equal to that effort that people are putting in, we're at nothing.
I keep going to say, don't worry, folks, but actually, you know.
Do worry. Do worry.
Worry about you and yours. Absolutely worry about you and yours.
I'd like if it was a community effort where the government took it seriously enough to say, look, let's lock down the schools 2 weeks early. It's no skin off anybody's nose. People will step up with the child. My neighbours will mind your child if you need to go into the hospital and save people's lives. People are very good like that in Ireland. We have always been good like that in Ireland, always. We need to isolate older people in the communities as best as possible. That means you go get their messages for them. You do things like, if they need a prescription picked up, you go pick up the prescription. And I don't mean you walk into their house. You don't walk into their house. You leave it at their front door and you walk away so that you're not contacting them, but do help them. People who have issues, other problems, comorbidities, you're going to have to do the same. Everybody has to step up. Everybody has. We can't do, I mean, somebody went and robbed masks, Tony, yesterday. Went and stole masks. You're not going to save yourself robbing masks. You either save everybody, you save nobody.
You know, I know from as you said, from our point of view, you're going home with some recording equipment that we'll hope
that's
to
right.
do some
that's right.
And remote recording.
And I genuinely do think if you have an option not to be in a very crowded area, we'll take the option.
Look, we have a few experts actually lined up to have conversations with us, but again, we are pushing back on people who wanted to come in and then are thinking about actual social interactions. We will be posting them intermittently. We will do our best to bring
you
information.
Well, you and I will do a lot of remotes, Tony, and we will do quite a lot of remotes.
But what I will say on the flip side, that is, again, keep an eye on the HSE website. Keep an eye on what on the best advice you can go. Personal responsibility does come into it.
Oh, hugely. And it's going to come more and more and more into it, Tony. And we need to work together. We cannot work against each other. We have to work together. Look, put pressure on your TDs. Put pressure on the people. There are really good health professionals out there who see what is coming. And they see what's coming. So help them. Help put pressure on TDs. Help put pressure on elected officials. And for God's sake, stay away. Social isolation is key in this. Don't be going to don't go to the cinema. Don't go to the pub. Don't be stupid. Please don't be stupid.
And on the flip side, when you're doing that, remember, if you can, also remember your local businesses are going to suffer.
Well, you can order your food online, Tony.
Well, I'm just saying we have to make sure that we try and you can mitigate on all sorts of aspects.
There is no easy solution.
No.
There is no way you can save everything and everybody, but you can save as much as you possibly can. Everybody's going to take a hit. Business, people, families, individuals, banks, hospitals, everybody's going to take the hit. But we must work together and do the sensible things. And the sensible things, when you look at Italy, is act now. Now. Act now.
Thanks for listening, folks. Mind you, mind yours, and let's all be Martin's right. It's a community effort. Talk to y'all soon.